Praise the Lord. God is good. Give another hand clap for Jesus Christ, right? He deserves all praise, glory, and honor. And he is amazing, wonderful. If you could turn me up just a little bit on the microphone, I promise I won't yell too much. But praise the Lord. It is a privilege to be here this morning. I know that Pastor Josh could have called a number of people to come and preach this morning. And so I'm honored by Pastor Josh. He's an amazing friend. Give a hand clap to your pastor. He's done an amazing job here at the church. Pastor Josh and I have known each other for quite a while. Matter of fact, his sister, Rebecca Johns, is a good friend of my wife, Marie Rodriguez, because we used to be missionaries to India. So we've known her for many, many, many years, and their family and his father as well, who pastors not too far from here. Great family of God, awesome people. We love them very much. And again, I want to thank Pastor Josh for what he's done for us and done for this church. It's been amazing. He is part of a ministry that we started. It's called Church Revive Network. So I am a missionary and evangelist kind of per se, but mostly evangelist here in the United States. And we started a ministry called Church Revive Network. What we do is we partner with churches that are needing coaching, encouragement. A lot of pastors are walking alone and they feel isolated and they feel discouraged. And we are there to help them and mentor them and speak into their life. And currently we do a monthly meeting on Zoom, and we just speak about what are the biggest pain points that you guys are faced with as a congregation, and we minister in those areas. So we had a friend of mine, Pastor Tommy Colonin, aka Urban Deep in Tampa, who was our last speaker on the Zoom call and blessed us with this so much information. And so that's what we do. That's our heart. And Pastor Josh is a part of that. He is one of my people that is very well connected to that, as well as other pastors throughout the state of Florida. And it's amazing to have him be a part of that. He's always been committed to helping and being in every meeting that we've had. Real quick, I want to introduce to you my family. If you could pop up that picture of this beautiful family. That's my family. That's my wife, Marie. She is the children's pastor at our church in Lakeland. So she is currently there doing the children's ministry. So it's kind of hard for her to get away from time to time. And so she's there at the church, blessing the children there. Those are my twin daughters, twins, Amelia and Charisma. And they were born in India when we were missionaries to India, and they are 14 years old. And so pray for us, because we are dealing with teenagers. And teenagers could be something else, right? But for real, I just want you to pray for our family. We look like we are put together. We're not. We're going through some storms. We're going through some challenges and difficulties. I'm trying to hold back the tears. Literally crying out to God last night. I know that, you know, sometimes we think when people come to preach that we have it all together. I'm going to be honest with you. We don't. We struggle. We get attacked spiritually. And so in my household right now, one of my daughters is really battling depression and anxiety. And she's going to see a counselor. And we just at a point, we're like, we don't know what to do anymore but pray. And she woke up this morning, she's throwing up, she's not feeling well, and we don't know if it's all because she's been nervous, but we are trusting God in this process. And it's one of those things that you just got to keep on getting down on your knees and pray and seek. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And we serve a mighty God who has never lost. Right? He's better than the Jaguars. He never lost, right? He keeps winning, right? He's undefeated. And we got to let the devil know that he is a liar and that he's under our feet. And so I'm believing this morning for a miracle for not only our family, for your family as well. I'm believing God's going to show up this morning, because I came to preach. Amen. When I go through a storm and I spend time praying, I come to preach, because I know that devil wants to destroy everything he can possibly. But I'm going to say no to him this morning. And I want you to join with me together in praying. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And we're going to lift up our hands. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to pray and ask God to take over this time, because I'm believing for breakthrough from everybody who is here this morning. I'm believing believing for a miracle for everybody who is here this morning. We want to give room to the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do. I'm going to step out of the way because I'm just a man, but he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I don't want you to applaud for me. I want you to applaud him because he's the one that we serve and we worship. And so this morning, we're going to invite his presence before I speak. Father, we come before you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we surrender all to you. For you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, we come here broken. We come here heavy burden. We come here discouraged, Lord God. We come here even with joy. For Father God, everybody's going through a season of something. And right now, Lord God, we are believing for a miracle in our lives right now, Lord God. You know the situation in my home, Lord God. You know the situation in everybody's home in this room right now. And I pray, Father God, that you will show up in the name of Jesus Christ, because we come to church to worship you. We come to church, Lord God, come out different from how we came in. We come to church, Lord God, to bring the praise, glory, and honor in the name of Jesus Christ. And I come, Father God, may I decrease and you increase, Lord God. I want more of you and less of me and none of this world. I pray, Father God, that you will speak to our hearts and our minds, because you have a word for us this morning. I believe it, Lord God. I sense it, Lord. I know that you are here right now in this room, Lord God. It started when we walked in the door, that you are presently with us in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say, amen. Give a hand clap to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I know Pastor Josh is a Pentecostal preacher, so he invited me to come speak too. And this morning I'm going to preach on fearless trust in God. Because that's the season that we need to be in right now. We look around our world and there's craziness happening all around us. There's all kinds of reasons for us to be afraid. And I understand sometimes it's okay to be afraid, but don't stay there. Trust in the one who will bring you peace, right? And so I'm going to break down this scripture from Psalm of David out of Psalm 27, because he was in the middle of fear. He was in the middle of turmoil. He was going through some challenges and difficulties. He was actually hiding out in the cave during this time when he wrote this, but he never let that praise escape him. He never let the fear hinder him from praising. He never let that challenge and difficulty to keep him from his hands down, right? And I think about the song, so I throw up my hands, and I praise you again and again, right? And we sing hallelujah, and we trust the Lord in that, right? And we speak by faith, and we believe for miracles, and here's what David did in Psalm 27. And I'm going to read the 14 verses really quickly, and I pray, and then I'm going to break down, not verse by verse, but the verses that I want to highlight this morning. I will break that down for us and believe that God's going to speak to us through his word. Here's what it says in Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. On whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Most people will stop there, but David keeps on going. Here's what he says in verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Now, you don't want to hear me sing, but sometimes when I got to sing, I sing praise to the Lord. Amen. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathed out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In verse 14, here it goes. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, Father, we pray over this word right now In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and grace. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So have you ever had a moment when fear took control of your heart? Right? You had that fear that's stirring within you, and you feel like you're being paralyzed by that. You can't think straight. You can't get past it. You're just thinking about the situation. Maybe it's a medical diagnosis or a financial struggle or a time when your enemy, visible or hidden, were closing in. And so King David understood what that felt like, being surrounded by enemies, betrayed by those close to him and uncertain about tomorrow. But instead of succumbing to fear, David turned fear into faith. So imagine the king of a nation, people trying to come at him, try to come against him, right? And there was many reasons for him to be afraid, but he turned his fear into praise. He found comfort and peace by praising God. As a matter of fact, before he even became a king, that's what he was doing as a shepherd. He was out there worshiping the Lord, praising him. You know, that never changed. That never changed no matter what position he had. He still continued to have the same heart of worship, the same commitment to the Lord, right? And so whenever God's opened doors of opportunity for us, right? If we started off praising and seeking his face, sometimes people want to pray when they're going through a battle and when everything's going okay. They're like, all right, Lord, I'm good now. Praise the Lord. You answer my prayer. I can just, you know, put you in my back pocket. I'll be all right. No, he wants you to continue to praise through the good times, the bad times, the ugly times, every single season, continue to pray and worship him, right? Because these are seasons that we go through. The struggle is not always there, but sometimes it's there longer than what we want it to be, and we have to have a posture of praise and worship before the Lord and make that a habit on a regular basis so that every season we go through, we are worshiping the Lord. And so King David understood what that felt like, being surrounded by enemies, right? Being betrayed, people coming against him, right? But he turned his fear into faith. Psalm 27 is David's song of confidence. It begins with a bold declaration, shifting to heartfelt prayer, and ends with unwavering hope. It's a bold declaration because he knows who his God is. Right? He knows who the Lord is. He knows who his Savior is, and he began to praise him with that declaration, right? This reflects the experience of believers who start strong and then face overwhelming circumstances, yet keep praying to God. No matter what, they continue to pray and worship the Lord regardless of what they're going through, right? How many people are going to continue to worship the Lord no matter what? Right? Because he's the one that's always there. He never leaves us nor forsake us, leaving begging for bread, right? And no matter what battle we may be facing, the battle belongs to him, and we can surrender our hearts to him and trust him to get us through the storm that we're going through and walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes I wonder, I say, God, why? Why does my daughter have to struggle like this? I remember when I was 14, I had a little bit of anxiety. I was, you know, struggling at times, but man, it seems like it's even worse now for kids nowadays. And I'm like, Lord, we see us, we preach, we committed to you, we serve the church, we've been missionaries, you know, and you begin to wonder, why? And the Lord just reminds me, I want you to see me in every circumstance. You want to have this anointing and preach, you got to rely on me. It's not by your own strength, it's by my spirit inside of you. You have to learn to depend on me to get you through the storm, right? And so it takes time and prayer, seeking God's face and really trusting in him. And I honestly wanted to watch football last night. I wanted to watch, you know, the Missouri play against, I don't even know who they play against, I forget, Texas A&M. But instead I spent time in prayer because it was my time with God. Alone, seeking his face and trusting that he is going to show up. And thank you guys for praying for my daughter this morning during pre-service. I believe the Lord's already touching her, doing something in her body right now. I believe in the breakthrough is starting to happen because there was a praying church believing with me in the name of Jesus Christ, she will be healed. Amen. So her name is a prophetic name, charisma. That means expression of grace. That means the Holy Spirit presence upon her. I remember when we were in India, and we didn't even know we were having twins, right? We went there to India. It was our first year there after being married, and we went to go have an ultrasound, and the lady, the nurse just drops her mouth like shocked. And we're like, okay, something wrong with our baby. Like, what's going on? What's happening? And we see two heartbeats. And she says, you're having twins. My wife just started laughing. And she said, I don't believe it, but she said my face turned pale. And I looked like I was going to pass out at that moment, right? I think I was just in shock that we were having twins. And so, but then in India, they're not allowed to tell you the gender of the baby because there they have, whenever they have females, there's a high risk of ladies aborting them because there the men is important and not necessarily the female. So even as a foreigner, we couldn't tell, they couldn't tell us what the babies were. And so the whole time I'm thinking, okay, so if we have a boy, I'm going to call him Isaiah Raphael. If we have a girl, we're going to call her Amelia Marie, you know, because that's my first daughter's name, my oldest twin, Amelia. You know, we're going to call her that. And then we go to Thailand. And in Thailand, they don't have those laws. And we find out that they're both girls. And so I said, okay, we got Amelia's name picked out. I'm going to what's the other name I could come with? And I really felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me and said, Charisma. Charisma K. Rodriguez. Charisma. And I said, wow, what a beautiful name. And I really believe that Charisma has a tremendous calling in her life. Both of them do. But they're going through a process right now. The enemy is trying to destroy them. He's trying to discourage them. He's trying to get us to be upset about everything that's going around us. And so she's not understanding the process that she's going through right now, but God has a plan and purpose for her life. And we believe that. And the Lord spoke that over our family, that our daughters are going to do amazing things for the kingdom of God. I believe our daughters are going to be able to minister more than we ever had. I believe they're going to travel from nation to nation and blessing people. They're going to have a song of worship. And neither one of us can sing, but our daughters could. Praise the Lord. So they got a song in their heart that they can sing and bless people and lead them to another level in Christ. I'm believing that. I'm speaking that over to my daughters. Speak that over your children as well. Speak life into them. All the time, right? So David, going back to David, David didn't ignore his circumstances. Instead, he trusted the Lord in faith and viewed his situation from heaven's perspective. Ignoring the circumstances is not going to disappear, but shifting our thinking and watching the Lord in the midst of our circumstances is what David did, and that's a great example of how we continue to have this attitude of worship and trusting God no matter what. And so the Lord was everything he needed. Just as he was everything we need today. He is our light, so we don't need to fear darkness. He is our strength. And here's from Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who could be against us? Right? No devil, nobody can be against us, right, if God is for us. God's favor is upon us. We can walk with that confidence in our life because God is for us. He will fight the battle for us. I don't have to fight the battles, right? The battle belongs to him. He takes care of me everywhere I go. So David understood that the most important part of his life was the part only God could see. And this was one priority he wouldn't compromise. David was living in the wilderness of Judea, away from the Lord's sanctuary, but he still managed to worship God. He wasn't in the sanctuary, but wherever he went, he worshiped the Lord. Even in the midst of in the cave, even hiding out from his enemies. He said, I'm going to build an altar right here. I'm going to worship the Lord right here. I can be nervous about the situation. I can be scared about what's happening. This guy is coming after me. There's people trying to come at me and kill me. But I'm going to worship the Lord right here in this cave. That's what David did. And that's what God's calling us to do, is to worship him no matter where we're at. No matter what situation we might find ourselves in. We may be running sometimes scared, but come and worship the Lord where you're at. Wherever you end up, bring the presence of God with you. And that's what David did. He had church by himself. He had church with other people that were running with him, right? He dedicated himself to seeking God's face. And the key to David's public confidence was his private obedience. He made time to worship the Lord and seek his guidance. That's how we walked in confidence in the Lord. Spending time seeking his face. Spending time in his presence. Spending time worshiping and trusting him. Amen? When David cried out, God answered him. In his heart, he said, seek my face. When the Lord's face shines upon us, it means he is pleased with us and will help us. When his face is turned away from us, he is displeased, and we must search our hearts and confess our sin. We always like to hear about the goodness of God and how God blesses me and God's grace and mercy is available to us. But we also got to have a heart of worship. We also got to have a desire to serve him. We also got to have a desire to walk in holiness and righteousness. Right? Because whenever we begin to do the same thing over and over again and take advantage of his grace and say, well, God's going to forgive me anyway. I don't need to grow in this area of my life. We are hindering our intimacy with God. We have to get to a place where those things are no longer a challenge for us. I remember when I first dedicated my life to Jesus. I got saved at 5 years old, but when I recommitted my life to Christ in my 20s, the first thing he put in my heart to do was get rid of all, back then when they had CDs. You know, some of you young people don't know what CDs are. Okay. They're these round things that had a hole in the middle. All right. And you could actually see yourself in the mirror, right? They reflected. Okay. And I had a ton of songs, all these R&B songs, because I thought I wanted to be an R&B singer, you know, Jodeci, and all these songs. And I would try to serenade all these girls in school and be like, I love you, you know, all this stuff. And the Lord said, you need to get rid of that. Trash that. You don't need to be listening to that stuff anymore. Man, I was like, you know how much money I spent on this, God? I spent a lot of money on this stuff. Like, why would you want, you're going to reimburse me, God? You know? And I loaded up a big trash bag and just threw them all in there and dumped them in the trash. Because he wanted me to dedicate everything to him. He wanted me to get into a deeper level in my relationship with him. And he said, I need you to guard your heart and start listening to that, because that is what's going to control your thinking. Music has power. It has influence. Remember, that's what the devil did before he got kicked out of heaven, okay? He was the worship leader in heaven, okay? And got too prideful and tried to be himself better than God and led to his dismissal, right? And so music could be very influential. That's why on the flip side of that, worshiping the Lord and singing praises to him can transform our lives no matter what, right? No matter what you're going through. Hey, try to sing a song in the midst of your storm. As I said to you, I you don't want to hear me sing, but there's times I'm singing. I don't care if my neighbors hear me. They're like, oh, my goodness. I need to run away from here, right? But sing praises unto the Lord. There's breakthrough that comes with worship. Amen. And so we must search our hearts and confess our sins to the Lord. And David believed that God's goodness always followed him and anticipated his needs, trusting that God stored up goodness for us when it was needed. God's goodness never ran out because David could enter God's house, his presence, and receive everything he needed. The key was faith in God. Faith in God. There's a song that we sing at church. It's like, faithfulness, faithful then. No, faithful now, faithful then. You never run out of faithfulness, right? Yeah. We talk about God's faithfulness because he is faithful. That never changes. Never changes. Amen? So instead of rushing ahead, David patiently waited on the Lord, because faith and patience always go together. Wow. What are you waiting for? I'm very impatient. I'll tell you what. I want things to happen yesterday. You know? I was telling the Lord, what's going on with Charisma? Why haven't you done anything? Like, right? But faith and patience go together. Waiting on the Lord encourages, builds our faith. And God understands that sometimes we're going to have more faith than any other times. He understands that sometimes I could wake up and I'm on top of the world and I'm ready to do what he called me to do. And there's other times I'm like falling apart and I'm saying, Lord, I need you. I need you to show up, right? But being patient continues to build our faith. So the Lord is our source of confidence. And we saw in verse 1 to 3, we're going to see verse 1 come up on the screen. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom should I be afraid? See, David starts not by describing his problem, but by declaring who God is. Notice the personal relationship, my light, my salvation, my strength. And so light means God guides us when life is dark. He reveals lies and offers direction. Salvation, God rescues from sin, danger, and despair. Strength, God provides safety when the world feels unsafe. So even those words right there, light, right? Salvation, strength, is a reminder of who God is. Amen? And so recently, I want to talk about recently what happened to my dad. He just moved into an assisted living facility. And over the past few years, his health has been declining. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, started showing signs of dementia. And on top of that, he's legally blind due to glaucoma. My dad is 86 years old. 86. And he's always been a strong guy. Always been I nicknamed him. If you speak Spanish, I nicknamed him Flaco Fuerte. That means skinny and strong, okay? Because he has always been the strong guy, right? But for my dad being blind, walking is like walking through a dark alley. He feels scared until I hold his hand. And the darkness stays the same, but his confidence grows. And that's what faith looks like. Not pretending the darkness isn't there, but holding the hand of the one who is light. And so, there's times I will hold him, or who grab a hold of my arms, and he always likes to make me feel good. He's like, oh, yeah, you've been working out. I'm like, yeah. I'm trying to be like you, Flaco Fuerte, skinny and strong, you know. So the darkness is still there, right? But the one we hold on to is the one that brings light. Amen. And I'm trusting and believing that my dad, when it's time for him to meet Jesus, I know it's going to be a celebration in heaven. He's going to join my mom, who passed away in 2021, and be with her. And, they serve the Lord. I have no worries because I know that they love Jesus. And when they leave this earth, they're going to be forever in the kingdom of heaven. No more suffering. Praise the Lord. There's no blindness in heaven. Amen. And so, but we're still loving on dad for as long as he's going to be here on earth. But he got to a place that he needed some assistance. He needed somebody to be there full time with him, watching him, because he had a major fall this past couple of weeks, this last week, and was on the floor for 5 or 6 hours before they found him when he got home from work. And we're like, yes, yeah, it's time for him to get some extra help. So keep my dad in prayer. His name is Pedro Rodriguez, and like I said, if you remember, let's call him Flaco Fuerte. He loves that name, all right? You don't conquer fear by denying it. You conquer it by remember who God is. When your heart begins to tremble, remind yourself, the Lord is my light, my salvation, my strength. Right? Remind yourself of the scripture. Even that part right there, that's a good scripture to remember. The Lord is my life, right? My light, my strength, my salvation, right? He's there for me. And also, here's what David says. The Lord is our greatest desire. The Lord our greatest desire. This is what verse 4 says. One thing I have declared to the Lord that I would seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Wow, right? Just that verse alone by itself. David's deepest longing isn't for victory or success. It's for God's presence, and he yearns to dwell in God's house, in community. That's what he longs for. I noticed that whenever we go, all of us, sometimes I struggle with this. Whenever I'm going through a difficulty, I kind of want to run away from everybody. I want to be by myself. I want to isolate myself. I want to be alone. I don't want nobody knowing what I'm going through. I don't want nobody to ask me questions, and I don't have an answer to it, right? But instead, David, his desire was to dwell in God's house and community. He gazed upon God's beauty to worship. He seeked God in his sanctuary in communion. He needed to be a part of the fellowship of the brethren. We are to iron sharpens iron, right? And we are here to lift each other up, hold each other hands up and praise and worship. And the last thing we can do is just run away from the house of God. We need to run to the house of God whenever we're going through challenges and difficulties. And this is remarkable. When enemies surround him, David's focus isn't on safety, but on staying close. Now, David was a war hero, right? He could have strategized and said, okay, we're going to attack the enemy from behind. And remember, we know the story of David, right? He had multiple chances to go after King Saul. The guy's sleeping. As a matter of fact, one of his soldiers was like, if you don't want to do it, I'll take care of him right now, right? I would love to have a friend like that. Hey, you want me to take care? But David's a guy, a man of God. And David says, no, don't touch the Lord's anointed. Whew, I would have been like, is this guy chasing me? He's trying to kill me? Go ahead. Let the Lord deal with you. You take care of him, right? No. He had opportunity, but he just left him in God's hand. And instead of strategizing, instead of planning, right, he just pursued time with God. And the more you know him, the more you would love to behold his unmatched beauty. He didn't focus on safety, but on staying close. And so if your house were on fire, you wouldn't stop to grab decorations. You would grab what matters most. And David, one thing shows what is most important to him, the presence of God. And so the question I want to ask you this morning is, what is your one thing? If everything else were taken away, would you still find joy because you still have Jesus? True peace isn't found in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of God. Wow. There's peace in the presence of God. Why? Because he is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. So if I need peace, I'm going to run to him. Because he is peace. Amen? He is peace. Praise the Lord. The Lord our helper in times of trouble. Here, verses 7 to 12, we see that the tone shifts. David, who had declared victory, now begins to pray. The topic shifts to prayer, ending with the statement that reveals the key to virtuous living or victorious living. Wait on the Lord. And here's what verse 7 says. Hear, O Lord, when I cry. Hear, O Lord, when I cry. With my voice, have mercy also upon me. Answer me. Wow, he's crying out to the Lord. And I wanted to say this in the beginning, but I'll say it now. Oftentimes, whenever an evangelist or a minister has an opportunity to travel and preach from place to place, it's so easy for us to pull up a sermon that we preached before, right? We preached it once before. We know it was good. We know it by memory. It's amazing. Like, you know, I preached this at one church, and I expect the same results at this other church. But for me, this week, I said, you know what, Lord? What is a word that White House Assembly of God needs to hear? What is the message that you want me to say to the church of White House Assembly of God? And so he led me to Psalm 27. And honestly, I mean, I was like, I wrestled through this message, wrestled through this the preparation of this, because I'm like, Lord, is this really what you want me to say? Because I, you know, I'm more comfortable going back and, you know, this message I preached a month ago, it was fire. It was pretty good. You know, like, I want to bring that, you know, I know what it could be. But trusting the Lord and asking him, what is the word they have to hear? And I know this is for somebody, maybe one person, maybe all of you, right? This is for somebody, because the Lord brought this in my heart to share this morning. But man, that wrestling through it, God does amazing things when we go through those difficulties. This reveals something essential about faith. It's not about pretending everything is fine. It's about honesty before God. And I could come up here and say, well, everything's fine. Everything's great. But I've learned to be honest before the Lord and honest before his people. Ministers don't have it all together. We're people too. And we get attacked too. And sometimes, because the enemy knows the kind of influence we can have in ministry, the attacks are heavy and consistent. But instead, what we need to do is continue to worship and pray, and then being honest with people to let them know, hey, I need you to pray for me. So I'm going to ask you guys to continue to pray for my family. When I'm no longer here preaching, continue to pray for my family. See, faith doesn't silence our cries. It guides them to the right place. David prays, do not hide your face from me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a smooth path. Here's what verse 10 says. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. This is how David expressed that God cares more about our well-being than even a beloved father or mother ever could. God's love exceeds that of a parent. This is more of a proverbial statement, not implying that David's parents abandoned him. Now, one thing I miss is my mom's love. I used to talk to my mom all the time, every day. I was a mama's boy. I admit that. I call her, hey, mom, how you doing? Every day I would talk to her, right? And she would just speak life into me. She would speak encouragement to me. I mean, I depended on her a lot. Her prayers, her kind words. You know, she had six kids. I'm like number five of six. So sometimes she'd get my name mixed up. Michael, Robert, or Sarah, everything but my name, she would call me sometimes, you know. I'm like, Mom, I understand. You got, you know, 17 kids. That's all right? But I miss talking to her. But what I noticed is that after she was gone, I realized that I depended more on speaking with her than talking to the Lord. I got so comfortable calling Mom and telling her, hey, I need you to pray for me. I need some advice. I need some counsel. And when she was not there anymore, the Lord's like, I'm still here. I'm still with you. Come to me. Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. Come to me. And so that relationship just got so much more intimate because I began to turn my attention to him and cry out to him more so than I have in the past. Amen. I tell you what, God's done amazing things with that. You can recognize your true friends during tough times. Some people disappear when challenges arise, but God stays when everyone turns away, he draws closer. Bring your honest prayers to God. You don't have to clean up your emotions before coming to him. David teaches us that faith and fear can exist in the same heart, but faith brings fear before God's throne. So you could be afraid and have faith, but faith brings fear to God's throne. Amen? Let that fear, as a matter of fact, draw you to God. Let that fear increase your faith and be more dependent on him rather than doing it on your own. Amen? Here's my final point. The Lord, I hope for the future. And this is verses 13 to 14, but verse 13 says this, I will have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, David hasn't been delivered yet, but he speaks with confidence. He's not just waiting for heaven. He expects to see God's goodness here and now, at that very moment. Then he concludes with this exhortation, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so waiting is not passive, it's active trust. While we wait, we worship. While we wait, we walk by faith. So when you plant a seed, you don't dig it up every day to check if it's growing. You wait because you trust the process. Waiting on God is similar. You may not see the growth yet, but sometimes something is happening beneath the surface. Amen? And I tell you, in our culture today, we want everything now. We're so used to having everything in our fingertips. Come on. But waiting does something. Right? While we wait, we worship. Right? While we wait, we walk by faith. And maybe you're in the season of waiting for healing, provisions, or direction. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't grow weary, be strong, and take heart. God's goodness is on the way. And even before deliverance arrives, David shows hope. He believes God's goodness isn't just a promise, but a future is something to experience today. We can experience the goodness of God today. Amen? Psalm 27 teaches us that confidence comes not from our circumstances, but from our relationship with God. When the world shakes, we can still stand strong because we have faith and we have fearless trust in God. And I want to say this last thing here. Living godly starts with knowing God personally. A close personal relationship with him will bring lasting positive change to your life. And so I want to end with this, with every head bowed, eyes closed. And maybe you hear me speaking about this Lord, this Savior. And perhaps your relationship with the Lord has struggled. You have had challenge after challenge, difficulty after difficulty. And you feel like your intimacy with him is not the same. Matter of fact, you feel disconnected. You feel like your love for him is not as deep as it was when you first gave your life to Jesus. Like when you first gave your life to Jesus, right? You wanted to tell everybody about him. man, I met Jesus and he changed my life and I want to tell you what he did in my life, right? But then life happens, situations happen, circumstances happen, right? And we get into this rut, we get into this routine, we go to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, this ongoing routine, and little by little, I know how to do church, I can put on my smile, I can show everybody I'm okay, right? I could do my Sunday morning routine. But there's still a distance between you and God. As a matter of fact, you probably haven't heard his voice in a long time. You've been asking God for answers to prayers. You've been asking him for guidance and direction. Lord, show me what I need to do. One of the questions that I like to ask the Lord a lot, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And sometimes God tells me. And sometimes he's like, you're not ready to hear what I have to say, right? So I'm going to ask you a question today. Where are you at with God this morning? Perhaps you've never given your life to Jesus. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to surrender to him. See, God created us to be with him. And our sins separate us from God. Right? And salvation comes with surrendering our life to Jesus. Paying the price, Jesus died and rose again. And everyone who trusts in him will live forever. And life on earth with God starts now. And as you say, Pastor Raphael, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. If that's you, I want to ask you to lift up your hand. If you've never given your life to Christ, so I want to surrender my life to him. This is one of the promises I make God. Every time I go preach somewhere, I'm going to give an opportunity for somebody to give their life to Jesus. But maybe you are at a place right now that you want to get deeper in your relationship with God. You want to surrender. You want to trust him in the midst of your battle. You want to have that fearless trust in God. You know, there's strength in numbers, right? And so I'm going to pray a prayer. And after I pray, I encourage you guys to come up front. I want to end with worship. If you want to sing a song at the end, end with worship and praise to God. And I'll be up here to pray with you. And so I'm going to pray. Those who are part of a prayer team or on staff at the church, if you can come up and help me pray for people, we'd love to empower the local congregation to pray for you all as well. But I'm going to pray first. We're going to get into a worship, and I want to just come to the front and let's just surrender all to God. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm standing right here. I'll be right here too. Let's go. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord. And Lord, we want to have fearless trust in you, because there's so many things right now that can make us afraid, Lord God. There's so many things right now that can keep us hindered and bound, Lord God, but we want to surrender those things to you. And so right now, Lord God, we want to end this time in this service, Lord God, worshiping you. And so, Father God, I pray for hearts and minds to come, Lord God, and worship you and surrender to you, Lord God. Leave it all at the altar, Lord, whatever they're worried about, whatever their concerns are, Lord God. We pray some major prayers this morning, Lord. There's prayer requests. There's people that are battling sickness. There's people that are looking for places to live, Lord God. There's people that need a touch from you. And so right now, Lord God, we surrender those things to you. And I just pray that you would be with us and guide us. In the name of Jesus Christ. So at the count of three, I'm going to count one. Two and three, just come up front. One, come and worship the Lord. Two, just lay it all at the altar. And three, come on up. Let's pray. Let's worship.